This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app. That's a free app. Download it if you haven't already. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be our next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville, Jason Bishop, and Eric Bickle. We've got Coach Brian Keefe joining us coming up in about 40 minutes, head coach of the Wizards, as they get ready to open up their season tomorrow against the defending champs, Boston Celtics. But right now, as we do every morning at 7 o'clock, time to hit the skins.
All right, boys. The biggest news of the day, obviously, yesterday was the release of Jamin Davis. It's just a shame that all of these first-round picks that we wasted here the last three or four years just haven't panned out. We've got none now from 2019 to 2022. And as we talked about earlier, if I was Manny Forbes, I'd be a little bit nervous, even though he had an interception last week, kind of a gift. Mm-hmm. He was in the right spot at the right time. He's also been active for a game or two. Jamin had been inactive for a game or two. They liked what they saw from him in the preseason, which got him on the roster. But after about the first week or two, they really kind of he didn't get a lot of playing time. And Frankie Louvu just kind of emerged in that Micah Parsons role. Again, poor man's
Micah Parsons. I just saw a tweet, and it had the initial press conference of Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't even Dan Quinn. It might have just been Adam Peters with Josh Harris. And somebody asked him about the personnel that he was inheriting. Mm-hmm. And there is a pause before he, like, got into – you know, coach type of stuff.
There was a 15-second pause. Right. Yeah. He had nothing.
You can tell he hated the roster.
I remember that.
He walked into that roster and saw the damage that Ron had done to it and the Martys, and he was like, I can't believe the eight ball that I'm behind here.
Yeah.
And he's had to do a lot of work.
Well, I mean, they changed, I don't know, 25 guys on the roster?
Right.
And that was before a lot of these guys have been cut.
I thought the number was 30.
He should never be booked to talk football by anybody because right. He clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, never booked
him. Well, he certainly wasn't a roster builder. Of course, Damon was the 19th pick. You heard Savannah talk about in the 2021 draft. So now you have Jason talked about it earlier. Jahan Dotson, who was 16th overall in 2022. He was traded to the Eagles. He's done nothing.
He gone.
Chase Young, he's like on his third team now.
He might be traded.
Second overall in 2020. All I see now, people send him to us because we've been critical. Our clips of him just dogging it after one initial mild effort.
That's just the way he plays.
He give you one burst and he's done. There was actually a play where one of the offensive linemen just threw him like he was cakes.
Yeah,
just threw
that.
Him.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was unbelievable.
Face down into the turf.
Listen, the one thing you can say about Chase Young, he's an Adonis. Like, the way he's built.
Right.
And to see an offensive, a big fat guy just throw him.
Well, that's how strong those other guys
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like, wow.
Man, you'd really hate to see Christian Darrisaw wearing a Commander's jersey instead of Jamin Davis, wouldn't you? He was picked, three or four picks after Jamin Davis?
Well, why don't you go through some of the guys? Because obviously, JOK was somebody they could have selected.
JOK, he was further down. I mean,
but they could have got him.
Najee Harris was picked 24th. Travis Etienne was picked 25th. I mean, Rashad Bateman, he hasn't had a great career. He was picked 27th in that same draft.
No, but there are a lot of guys they could have had. You could do that every draft.
Landon Dickerson, who's a Pro Bowl center for the Eagles, he was picked 37th.
But think about
in that
how
draft.
That really hinders your roster building when your first round picks, because that's what you're building.
Oh, it's
around.
Massive. It's a massive.
Those first round picks,
back.
They should be. At minimum, starters in year two.
Yes.
It does. But as JP said, it's all about the quarterback, and they hit on one, and now suddenly we're relevant.
I know.
Literally.
That's what I'm saying. So the fact that they don't have those first-round picks for the last 4 years,
right.
And you're 5-2 means think about it, that's an unbelievable job that Peters Dan Quinn and that staff have done.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Now, a lot of it's hitting on that number two pick.
Right.
But, man, when you don't have first-round picks on your roster.
Well, I mean, we've seen.
For most teams, that would really hurt.
We just saw both sides of the coin last week at Northwest Stadium.
Yeah.
The Commanders have hit with their quarterback, and they have a 5-2 record.
Carolina hasn't.
Carolina missed on Bryce Young, and they're starting Andy Dalton at this point.
Hit the Skins brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. You need to hit the Skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
So there were actually quite a flurry of moves, most of them kind of sort of inconsequential. But they actually had a player that was suspended, a guy who had been elevated from the practice squad. I believe his name is Kevin Seymour. He'd only been active for two games, but he was suspended for a PED thing, and he was suspended for six games. So am I led to believe then that it means it wasn't his first go-around? Because somebody was just suspended for two games.
Jameson Williams from the Lions.
Yeah, so I don't understand. I'm sure it's probably
maybe
multiple offenses.
Maybe he's a repeat offender.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can gather. But they elevated a couple guys. They signed a couple guys to their practice squad. So usually bottom end of the roster guys don't really have an impact. I know JP likes to talk about that a lot. There's some truth to that. It looks like the spread on the game has dropped to 1.5. Now, there has to be uncertainty. I told you I've done a 180. I think that Jaden is probably going to play. In fact, somebody sent me a link, and I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Because I was too busy. Two chipping and three putting.
And telling the authorities that you mistakenly dialed 911.
Yes. the Jaden went through a very similar thing at LSU, I guess. He had the same, like, a rib issue, and he played the following week. So who knows? Maybe it's a kind of a reoccurring thing.
Maybe he had broken ribs in that instance.
One was broken?
Yeah.
I think that line has to be based on uncertainty, right? If they knew that Jaden was starting, do you think it'd still be 1.5? It'd have to be at least a pick'em.
I would think, or maybe even Commander's
favorite.
Maybe
favored, right?
But it's coming down. I mean, it's coming down.
It is coming down.
It was at 3, and now it's at 1.5. And then if they announce that Jaden's going to play, I would think that it's going to be even money. Or maybe even Commander's favored by a point.
By the way, the matchup predictor, I mentioned this yesterday, which had the Commanders at 54% to win, according to ESPN's analytics.
That changed?
I didn't know that thing changes. It's changed. It now has the Bears 50.2% to win.
Well, this may
so
be.
So basically 50-50.
Maybe that's based on not knowing who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you would think if they knew the quarterback was going to be Jaden Daniels, that the percentages would go up for Washington.
Yeah, but they
Washington
don't know that.
Was the favorite.
They don't know that.
I know, so you would.
They probably initially thought he was going to play, maybe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. And then they updated the model. And they put in their Mariota half the time or whatever that, they did.
And then they go, Chicago's going
to
win.
No, but right. my point is, if they thought that Jaden wasn't going to play and they had him at 54%.
Well, see, I think the initial one. I'm saying the initial one, probably the model had Jaden playing.
Okay.
And then they changed. That's my guess.
Gotcha.
But who knows? I'm clearly guessing. So we obviously know that – you know, the strength of this team is the offense. When you look at the statistical breakdown and you're trying to compare a little bit, I mean, tied for first, 31.1 points per game, Cakes. Or third overall in rushing, 165 yards per game. Not quite as prolific passing, 218 yards per game. We're giving up 21 points per game, which is 15th. Now let's compare that to the Bears. The Bears in scoring are 12th. Not bad. They're averaging 24.7.
They've had an uptick of late.
Caleb's heating up a little bit. They had a bye week last week, of course. Points against, though, this is where they are particularly strong. Only 16.8 points per game. Mm-hmm. All right, defensively. That's fourth in the NFL. So they'll have their work cut out for them. The Commanders will.
Montez only has 2.5 sacks, I believe.
He's an impactful player,
but he
though.
Still gets after.
Yeah, you know, he's still impactful.
Here's one thing that's interesting about the Bears in the secondary. I don't know if, Matt, are you going to try and get someone from the Bears this week? We can ask maybe an insider. They've got 3 injuries in the secondary. Now, they were just on bye, so maybe they'll be healthier.
A little healthier.
Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon, who are all starters, were injured. But I'm not sure if they're going to miss the Commanders game, but we should probably talk to an insider for the Bears. That could be huge if they're going to be missing a couple guys
now,
in the secondary.
If those are big on revenge games.
Love it. Love right, those angles.
How much stock to put into Montez coming back to Caleb coming home?
Yeah, homecoming game. There are a lot of nice subplots there. I don't think Montez had the nicest things to say about the organization when he left.
Correct.
After he was traded.
Now it's
so
different now.
It is different, yeah. But he's got a grudge against Washington, so I would expect a pretty big game out of him. But getting back to the Bears for just a second, they've beaten a lot of Scribinis. I mean, they're on a three-game win streak. They've beaten the Rams, the Panthers, and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like especially if Jaden is under center, this is a different sort of offense they're going to be facing with Washington opposed to those three or four teams they've seen recently.
But Washington's beaten Carolina and the Browns, and I mean they've both beaten bad teams.
As they should. That's what they should do to bad teams.
That's what I'm saying. So give credit to them that are beating the bad teams.
Is the combined record of the teams that Washington has beaten 9-25?
If you say so. That sounds right.
Well, I would argue. I can't.
Rams, Panthers, Jags.
I can't do this math on the fly.
And Titans?
But the wins they have, yeah. They've beaten the Titans, Rams, Panthers, and Jags. Those all subpar teams.
Yeah, a bunch of 1-2 win teams.
Now, if you want to do, and obviously, especially if Jaden plays, they're going to be playing this up all pregame and everything. I know some of us don't like to watch the network pregame shows. But when you do the direct comparison with Caleb and Jaden Cakes, Caleb has come on a little bit. He's completing 65% of his passes, 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks. The old school quarterback rating is 88.7. Nothing great. QBR, I'm not as schooled in the QBR in terms of what's a great number. I know if you're like 70 or 80, that's great. Where does 46.4 rank in terms?
Slightly below average.
Slightly below average. To compare, Jaden's QBR 73.9. That certainly seems pretty high. Where does that rank overall on the quarterbacks?
Last one or two?
He was second or third.
Second or third.
Yeah,
the traditional quarterback rating, which I think we all acknowledge has many flaws, he's got a 107. Just 6 touchdown passes to 2 interceptions. He's protecting the ball. Hasn't been super prolific through the air. But he is completing 75.6% of his passes, down a little bit from when he was at 80%. But the real big number, I know that gets fantasy guys like Cakes all excited, 372 yards on the ground, 4 touchdowns rushing, which gives
Love
him
it.
10 total touchdowns.
Gets me horny.
Close to 2,000 yards overall. Just been super impactful. And I think if you had to have Rookie of the Year right now, he'd win it.
Caleb's got some decent rushing numbers too, and it's not Jaden Daniels.
About a half though.
Yeah, but he's averaging about 7 yards a carry. He just had in his last game, he had 56 yards on 4 carries. That was the game against Jacksonville in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a 44-yard game and a 34-yard game. So he doesn't have any rushing touchdowns, but he's been running a little bit.
He doesn't run like he did against DeMatha years ago, where he ran for 3
nice
touchdowns.
Yeah, I like how you tweaked the
And
DeMatha
I stand corrected on Caleb. Caleb's a little bit below average when you look at the QBR numbers. He's ranked 26th. And to just kind of give you the ballpark of where he is, QBR, they judge, you know, it's
all stats have flaws.
It's ESPN people judging it. But Daniel Jones, for example, has a higher QBR than Caleb Williams. He's right next to Anthony Richardson and Jacoby Brissett.
Well, that's how flawed
both
the QBR and the quarterback rating is.
Aaron Rodgers.
Who would you rather have, Daniel Jones or Caleb Williams?
You'd rather have Caleb, but I'm telling you, Caleb is going to be a roller coaster kind of guy.
His first two games were rough. Jaden Daniels, number 3. So you've got Josh Allen, 1, Lamar Jackson, 2.
What are their
Daniels
numbers? Put it
in
context, though. I need context with numbers.
Well, that's what it
Josh
was.
Josh Allen has a 77.6.
So he's
Lamar's
only
at a 74.3.
So
and
they're
Jayden's
just a couple points ahead of him. Right.
And then Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray right
so
behind
those,
him.
The QBR is definitely affected by clearly what you've done throughout the entire season, but his first 3 games he had 2 touchdowns and 4 picks.
Right.
His last 3 games he's got 7 touchdowns, 1 pick.
Well, what did you have as individual game QBRs in the last 3?
89, 83, and 46.
Okay.
Well, and his first 3 were 35, 22, 24.
Right.
So clearly in the last 3 games, he's been much better.
The QBR tries to address the situation of if a quarterback throws a perfect pass for what should be a touchdown and is dropped, they actually credit that as a good throw. The traditional pass rating doesn't
because it's an incompletion.
Not surprising, his best QBRs by far came against Carolina and Jacksonville, which they should.
Yeah. I mean,
they're just poor defensive teams.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. We have Coach Keefe joining us coming up in about 20 minutes, and then Tony La Russa to talk some World Series at 8 o'clock here on the
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live from the Entertainment Sports Arena in D.C. Getting ready to interview Coach Keefe, head coach of the Wizards. He started as an interim, and
now
they decided to retain him.
I have an irrational urge to always call him Adam Keefe.
Yes.
Because of the guy who used to ball at Stanford way back in the day.
That's right.
It's Brian Keefe. And I know that.
Keefe.
My brain knows it, but I always want to say Adam for
whatever
reason.
Bit with you. That's why I tend to call him just Coach Keefe.
Yeah, Coach Keefe.
You know, you guys can always just make it easier. Just call guys Coach.
Yeah.
You don't even need
that's
the last
true.
Name.
That's a very good point.
That's what we usually do.
It's a life hack.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
That's a great
it's
hack.
It's a good one. It's solid.
I don't know. Cakes is giving me a hard time because I used the bathroom for a serious business. And he acts like I should sit there and hold it for 4 hours or
something. No, you're on your own schedule. Everybody's on their own schedule.
Well, and not everything just arrives on time.
Understood.
You know, sometimes you have random deliveries at random times.
That's
not
very
really
true.
Random for you. I actually think you're pretty regular. It's during the show.
Yeah, that's possible.
Right?
What did you have for dinner last night? Italian?
Maggiano's.
That's pretty good.
Now, I didn't go there. I went to a senior dinner. Very nice. One of those tearjerker things, right?
Oh, no, I hate those.
The Holy Cross volleyball team. Now, my daughter's just a sophomore, but she read a little speech and hyped up a senior, and the other seniors were being hyped up by the younger players, and it was a tearjerker.
I don't like tearjerkers. Not a big fan.
I mean, in a sweet way.
It's like touching and emotional.
Right. But then, we kept it off with Maggiano's, and then I had a huge piece of cake afterwards. I felt literally obese.
Did you have
a
big giant meatball from Maggiano's?
All of that. Lasagna.
Garlic
chicken
bread.
Chicken parm. Actually, I skipped the garlic bread.
Oh, yeah.
Chicken
poor
parm.
Poor choice. Poor life choice.
Lasagna and Caesar.
Okay, yeah. Very
Caesar,
good.
You know, whatever. It was delicious.
Glass of Cabernet?
No, we were in high school.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought you were at the restaurant.
Yeah, no. We were at the high school. That's where they did the senior night or whatever.
Okay.
And then I did have an Izzy. Do you know what those Izzy's are?
Like a fancy sparkling water.
Kind of like, I had an Izzy, whatever that is. And then I had a zero sugar blackberry lemonade that was the worst garbage I've ever had. I mean, I just can't do it.
You need the sugar.
I need sugar. And whenever you go somewhere, like at the club, they always say, would you like sparkling water? Or what do they call the other one?
Still. Still or tap.
I just say, regular water.
I like me some sparkling water. I'm
you
not gonna
do?
Lie. I don't order it a lot, but I do like it.
There's nothing refreshing and quenching.
But here's the key. Whether it's still, tap, sparkling, it's got to be cold. Don't bring me room temperature water.
A lot of
That's
restaurants
gross.
Do that.
Cold. I don't like that.
Cold hurts my teeth a little bit.
Ice, and I need the water to be cold. Don't bring me ice with room temperature water, because you know what that does? Melts all the ice
when
immediately.
When you order a soda and you go through drive-thru, which, by the way, shocker, I'm obese. I've been going through a lot of drive-thrus lately.
What was the last one?
McDonald's.
Cheeseburger?
How many shakes?
Fries?
Shakes.
I'm not kidding. I'm on a shake tear.
Shake heater.
I've had 3 chocolate shakes in the last week.
Oh, man.
I
just crave them.
Yeah.
I just crave them.
Yeah.
Craving.
Well, I mean, they're delish.
They are good.
They're so good.
But I figured I would have
They've
nothing
gotten
else.
Smaller, though.
Oh, my God. My medium shake is like this.
Okay, well, yeah, you're fine
Here's
on
what they did is They just added the whipped cream. They used to not be,
But even the last cup, couple years. Even the cup is smaller.
But they used to not do whipped cream. Now whipped cream takes up 20% of the shake.
Yeah.
Trav asked me what was on top of the waffle, and it's clearly whipped cream.
Yeah, what did you think it was?
That's whipped
or
cream.
Or no, maybe he's talking about Donkey the blackberry Kong. Or something.
No, no, he was talking about the whipped cream that was on the waffle.
What did you think it was?
No, no, it's not the same whipped cream that you get out of a spray can.
It's a little different.
I wanted to know how he made it.
I don't know.
It tasted silly.
I don't have his recipe. I don't know.
It's probably sugar.
It's probably Miracle Whip.
Yeah, I mean, my wife makes whipped cream. It's not that hard to do.
I'm trying to sell cakes on Waffle Friday.
I'm already in.
We bring in our waffle maker, some batter.
Yeah. And who's going to do it?
It's team effort.
Yeah.
Why don't we just make more of the chef?
I'll eat it. That's my contribution.
Are you not a little bit sized for that?
My waffle maker is a toaster. I get the frozen waffles.
No, we're talking about real waffles.
Do it like they do at the Hilton Garden Inn.
Yes.
You got a waffle maker, and you pour the sauce in there.
Howard Stern has a breakfast every morning. Why not the Junkies?
He also has a $500 million contract. Last time I checked, we do not have that.
Well, we probably should.
I mean, we probably should, but we don't.
Taking advantage
of it. If you want to make Waffles Friday, I'm all in.
All right.
Jason's big on labeling days. He's a Taco Tuesday guy. Yeah. What's your Wednesday?
Well, last night was filet on the grill Wednesday.
But what is it normally? Wednesday's kind of a wild
sometimes
card for you. Wild card Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. Yesterday was Tuesday.
Right? I'm sorry.
Oh, you cheated on your tacos.
We're doing Taco Wednesday tonight.
Oh, okay.
We're doing steak tacos, the leftover filet that we didn't eat.
I like it.
Very good.
Is tonight only Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Thursday is always passion fin for sushi Thursday.
Okay, all right, good.
And then Friday, who knows?
Friday's a wild card.
Yeah.
Friday's a wild card. It'd be some restaurant. But last night was filet on the grill, so good.
Very
Costco
good.
Filets are
I
yummy.
I also cooked steak last night. I had some PTSD.
Some of your terrible steak?
I thought it turned out pretty good. My wife at least said it was good.
Of course, your wife. wife never criticized him in 30 years.
Maybe it was terrible.
What did you say about your last place finish?
She disappointed in you and your manhood?
Did you discuss it with her?
Did she want me to come over and cook for you one time? No, she didn't. But, I mean, I talked about it, and I was clearly disappointed.
Do you have a bunch of...
I mean, my steak finished behind Mike Mars' steak.
That's the ultimate insult. And Mike Mars was the worst steak I've ever had.
I mean, I just can't have that. It's freaking embarrassing.
I saw a picture that Amy tweeted or Instagram.
Right.
Do you have a bunch of... Halloween inflatables?
No, I have one Halloween inflatable in front of my. I have a Halloween inflatable
of a
scary tree in front of my big giant tree. Yes, one Halloween inflatable.
All right, I'm going to take a pic of that when I drive by today.
Oh, speaking of Halloween, I'm not on Twitter, obviously.
By the way, we're 8 days away from Halloween. Get prepared.
I need the listeners to tweet you or you.
Yeah.
I need a good haunted house in the and not in Maryland.
Okay, it has to be in Virginia.
In Loudoun County.
Okay. Don't tweet me. I don't care about it.
EB Junk at EB Junkies.
No,
Money Metal Cakes. You can tweet me.
I need a good one for Friday night.
Okay, yeah, send them to me and I'll send them.
So you actually like to go in a house where some guy jumps out of a closet and grabs your arm,
grabs my butt. Yeah. Yes.
Hey, you'd be good. You'd have a good time at a Diddy party.
Yeah, hey, I love haunted houses.
I like those haunted houses too.
You're telling me you don't like haunted houses?
I don't like to be scared.
I got an appearance fee to go to one years ago. Those were the days.
They're not going
to
kill you. I mean, they're just going to scream at you.
I don't want to be scared. I didn't like it when Cakes punched my rib yesterday.
You don't have to tweet him. You can tweet Cakes.
Yeah.
But I need a good haunted house, not in Montgomery County.
You need a haunted house wreck.
What's the one in the real famous one in Maryland in the forest?
Markov's Haunted Forest.
All right, I'm not going there.
Also, Field of Screams in the O-Town, closer to where
I'm not going there either. I'm going to stay in Virginia.
You want to go to a field or a house?
I mean, it could be inside or outside. I mean, most of them are trails.
A lot of them are.
There's a house, but there's a trail.
I think there's a silly one in Warrington.
Yeah, good luck.
Too far away.
You need a freaking 747.
It's 20, 30 minutes from
Jason. I need one from Leesburg or Percival or I know there's none in Ashburn. But
right. My brain thinks that Warrington is 5 minutes past Fairfax. Bulletin, it's not 5 minutes past Fairfax.
No.
It's about 40 minutes past Fairfax.
Warrington, you need a 747.
It is deep.
There used to be a really good one in Leesburg.
The Manor House.
Yeah, but they closed it down.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Well, my daughter would argue my house is a haunted house because ever since that little snake slithered into my dishwasher, I've never found it.
So it could pop out anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You're living with
here's
a snake.
Here's hoping for the toilet.
Yeah. A little baby snake slithered into my dishwasher, and I have no idea where it went.
If it slithers from your toilet while you're sitting on it,
that's my biggest
nightmare. To a certain spot on your body, you may die on the spot.
Jason
right
Bishop.
There
I'd have a heart attack.
Like
yes,
Elvis.
Sir.
Jason Bishop, would you enjoy this haunted house? I saw this story yesterday. Now it's from a ridiculous source, The Sun.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
But it says UK's scariest haunted house.
The Baltimore Sun?
No, it's...
mm-hmm. I'm kidding.
British tabloid.
Britain's
scariest haunted house is open, where visitors are verbally abused, humiliated, and even have their hair shaved or waxed off. Before entering, those hoping to enter the Halloween experience have to sign a 2-page waiver before being subjected to electric shocks and representations of a sexual nature.
Oh, I'm so out on that.
I don't even believe that. Why would anybody go into that house?
I mean, there's certain people that like humiliation.
Yeah.
Thrill seeking.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
You want something a little less than that.
I just want someone to jump out from behind right. that door and go boo.
You want some fake chainsaw?
You want somebody wearing Michael Myers mask.
I want a dark house. Yeah. I want a dark house and someone to just go boo.
Yeah.
And I'll go, oh, and I like it.
Hey,
and I'll go have a cocktail afterwards.
Jason.
Yeah.
Public service announcement. Be sure to watch the original Halloween.
Always.
On Halloween.
I always do.
And it can't be the edited version. It has to be the original.
And, of course, I'll be a zombie.
I know
like
that.
I
know that you consider this kind of like scandalous that I don't know, but I'm sorry. Who are the stars of the original Halloween?
Well, the big star is Jamie Lee Curtis making her big screen debut.
I don't know who played the doctor. What was the actor who played the doctor?
You have to know that. That's Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance
plays Dr. Loomis.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows
Jamie Lee
that.
Curtis famous for screaming in that one? Or?
There definitely is screaming in Halloween. I can confirm that.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's famous for the actual screaming.
Was that like her? You said it was her motion picture debut.
Yes, correct.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
she was like.
I think so.
Well,
I think
she
was like 18 years old.
17, 18 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie's not necessarily known for the acting or the acting performances. It's the scary music and the chasing.
Yeah, it's a horror classic.
Yes,
I'm out on being scared.
You should watch a horror classic this Halloween, EB. I'm just putting it out there.
Coming up next, we have the head coach of your Washington Wizards, Brian Keefe, joining us here on the Junkies.
Yes, sir. Bank local, cheer local, in business. Every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from the Entertainment Sports Arena in D.C. Happy to be joined by the head coach of the Washington Wizards, Brian Keefe. Second time we've had you on.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Yeah, thanks.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
In person
likewise,
today.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Way better looking in person, right? Don't you think?
I was not quite thinking that.
He was thinking athletic specimens. Maybe not.
That
so
was
great
more looking around the sentiments I was thinking.
Yeah, Coach, you look like you're getting a workout in. Do you got like your gear on? Do you get workouts in?
This is what I'm wearing for practice today. So I put it on. We have practice today, so I just put on the uniform.
It's
like
a lot like our work clothes, kind of.
Yeah,
sweatpants. Yeah.
I like his shoes. What size shoes do you wear?
We have a lot in common. Don't ask for shoes. You're not getting it.
You look like we might be the same size. I don't know.
I like how he sniffed you out quick.
He sniffed me out. Yeah,
he knew where you're heading.
So how are you feeling about tomorrow night?
Excited. You know, our guys have put a lot of work in through the off season, a lot of training, a lot of preparation. Excited for them to get opportunity to go compete against another team. So that's great.
How do you handle sort of, fan expectations? We always just want to win. And you guys are in a process here, right? It's going to be 3-4 years, whatever. How do you just approach it? Knowing that not necessarily winning is the goal every night at this point in the process.
The way we talk about and approach it here is pretty simple. Like, we're learning and preparing how to win to build something sustainable. So, like, winning matters to us. Like, that the fans need to hear that. This is a really important thing. But we want to do it the way that's going to build something that's going to be lasting, that's going to be sustainable, and done the right way.
Wait, I'm sorry to ask this, but what's a way that's not sustainable?
Just
like bringing in a bunch of old guys and sneaking out dubs, that kind of thing?
No, I'm not talking about even roster construction. I'm talking about, like, how we're going to play. Like, you know, we could play a stylistic game that maybe we sneak out a win, but that's not going to lead to something that's going to build something long-term that's going to win in the playoffs. So we want to build a style on both ends of the floor that's going to be sustainable for playoff basketball. And we got to build that day by day, and that's going to take some time.
So what do you want Wizards basketball to look like?
First of all, defense is something that is going to be something that our organization carries first, that we want to hang our hat on. You know, that we think those are the things that leads to something that's sustainable. And then in offense, that's going to be obviously a little bit analytically driven, but it's going to be, you know, player, ball movement, pace. We shot a good amount of threes last year, so that type of thing.
Do the players groan when you say defense is our priority? I'll be honest, like, guys, they want to score. They want to play offense. They want to get up and down the court. Like, that's got to be a tough sell, I would think, to at least some of the players.
Our guys have been great. We've also added some size and versatility to the roster, and not just through the draft, but through free agency and stuff. So we have guys who are defensive-minded, and that's an important characteristic we want for our group.
Let's start with we're going to have Alex on the show later, the number two pick. What did you see from Alex when you watched him on film? I know you don't make the ultimate call, but Sure. You're part of the decision-making. You were able to draft Alex Sarr. You talk about defense. It's probably going to be defense first, but he seems very fluid in his movements. What did you like when you watched him?
Yeah, the defensive versatility, his ability to, A, protect the rim, but also guard on the perimeter and guard multiple guys. That's our first focus with him. His offense is going to be coming around. Like, he's a good decision maker. He can put the ball on the floor. He will eventually be a very good shooter in this league. But the defensive versatility was the thing that stood out. His ability to make a big imprint on that in the game for his size, pretty impressive. Obviously going to be some learning going on for him as he learns the NBA and guys he's playing against, but that was the thing that stood out.
When you say the offense will come around or the shot will come around, like, what do you see in his offense now that you know that it will come around?
But the offensive stuff, that is, he's a good passer, good decision maker, reads the game well. It's not that the shooting and the offense is going to come around. It's just that we're so focused on him, the defense, that, you know, make shots, miss shots. Those are things that for all of our guys, sometimes you can't control that. You're going to put the time in the gym. These guys are working like crazy every day. But the defensive focus for him will be the first thing.
I know that when we watched Summer League, and it was very little, I was impressed just with the looks. Like, I thought, you know what? He shot up low percentage. Those were pretty darn good looks, I thought.
Yeah,
on the whole. You don't even care.
That stuff, I wasn't even a thought process. Like, he got good shots. He's had good shots in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Again, the defense is the focus, his decision making. But yeah, this guy's a worker. He's been great.
Yeah. What's he getting better at from Summer League to the preseason?
Just used to the speed of the game, getting used to playing with his teammates, some of the systematic things we've put in offensively and defensively. You know, I think playing in the Summer League and all that stuff, playing training throughout the summer,
right,
just getting acclimated to everything that we're doing. These guys improved weekly and rapidly, so it's been good.
So Bilal Coulibaly will be entering his second season. What are the expectations for him coming into this year?
You know, we did it with him last year. We put him on the best players. You know, you're going to hear defense a little bit from me. These two guys are really have great characteristics, Alex and Bilal. We're going to put on the best guys. He's going to guard the best guys night in and night out. And then we're going to see him much more handling the ball this year.
Is that kind of taking over the Denny role? Because Denny was a guy who often guarded the best offensive players. He was known for his defense. I mean, I think he was a good all-around player.
Sure.
I've seen some reports out of Portland that I think Chauncey Billups said that he's their best player right now.
So Bilal is, you know, probably our best perimeter defender. But we're going to put the ball in his hands more, just work on his decision-making, playmaking abilities. I think we're going to have multiple guys handle more guys making decisions. That's some of the things that we think will lead to a sustainable winning.
One thing that I noticed, now he gets killed a lot by social media, but Jordan Poole improved for you guys in the second half of the season. What changed in his game? Because first half of the season, it was I think you guys would admit it was kind of rough, or maybe based on expectations. I thought he was going to come in and score 25 points a game right off the bat. But the second half of the season, he seemed like he was a much better playmaker and player overall.
For sure. I wanted Jordan to be himself and wanted him to be aggressive. And you saw that last half, he played pretty well for us.
Yeah.
Wanted him to attack, play downhill, get into the paint. Because one thing you're going to notice about Jordan, he's going to be number one on the other team's scouting report. He's going to draw crowds. There's going to be people helping. So him attacking for himself, then his ability to play make from others by getting into the paint. So we want Jordan to be aggressive. And I think that's what you saw the last half of the year.
Talk about Bub. because, I mean, he's young.
I like him, though.
Is he even 20 years old?
19.
Yet? He's 19.
Yep.
Played 1 year at Pitt, mm-hmm. but really showed some good signs in the
he's like a gritty player. Yeah. That's what I saw.
Talk about Bub. What's his role?
Competitor. First of all, I think that's the one thing that probably stands out to everybody. His energy, his infectious energy, his joy for the game. But he's a competitor. Mm-hmm. And then he's bringing positional size, versatility, defense, rebounding, and then to be able to make plays.
How tall is he?
6'4"-ish, maybe?
Yeah, he's probably a little taller than that.
Really?
Listed 6'4", 190.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
All right. Is he still growing, then?
I'm 6'4", technically. Yeah, yeah. He's taller than I am. So.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
6'4", 190, that is thin.
And the other
I'd love to be 190.
Pick, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Is it Keyshawn? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Keyshawn George.
He looked. Is this a bad comparison? You can mock me. It's okay. I'm often mocked. I said he looks like a little Robert Ory-ish, like in his style of play. Don't like that.
I like the clutch shooting ability. That would be that translate. I was around Robert as a
big
player a long
ball.
Time ago in San Antonio. We're thrilled for Keyshawn. He's another big wing who can handle, mm-hmm. make plays, great decision maker in shooting. So, like, we've added a lot of positional sides. He's another guy who can really make plays and read the game really well. Mm-hmm. So we've been thrilled with his progress, too.
Okay. Talking to Coach Brian Keefe, the head coach of the Washington Wizards. You can listen to the Wizards all season long on the Team 980. Personal question. When you're with the Spurs, you win a ring. Where is the ring? Do you ever wear the ring? Because, believe it or not, the four of us knuckleheads, we have a World Series ring, and we have a Stanley Cup ring.
Stanley Cup
we got
champions.
The knockoffs, kind of.
Well, we got the executive.
They're pretty nice.
We didn't get the player ring.
They're very nice.
Yeah.
I have the ring. For many years, was in a lockbox, but then I moved, and it is in my house. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it on the radio where exactly, because someone might be going there right now to go get it. But I don't wear it. I don't see you guys wearing your rings today.
I actually sold mine.
I actually been wearing – my daughter plays volleyball.
I wouldn't doubt it.
My daughter plays
– In a pinch, I've thought about it.
She plays volleyball at Cornell, and they played so well this year, I said – we got this ring. You guys can win this ring. I'm actually wearing it every weekend to try to motivate the girls, believe it or not. It's been fun. I like it. Why not wear it? What are you going to do? You got to wear it to a function or something, right?
I don't even wear a watch.
He's not an accessories guy.
I don't really have much on, so I even put it
But
that
you
way.
Earned it anyway.
So you know what?
I didn't earn it. Those guys, I wasn't doing much in those days.
We earned ours.
At least you were
what was your role under Popovich? So Popovich, the head coach.
Assistant video coordinator.
All right. Well,
yeah, that was my job.
Were you a good editor?
Probably not as good as what you guys are doing here.
He seems like a real curmudgeon. What is he like behind the scenes?
Oh, not at all. Like
totally different.
Like with
totally
the media, he's just a completely different
person.
He's totally playing a game with the media. Yeah. That's clearly a game.
Great guy.
So he doesn't.
Great guy. Yeah. Really, seriously.
All right, so
very caring human.
When you're there.
So when you ask him a question, he doesn't give you 3-word answers?
He would give you guys that.
Exactly.
When you're there, I'm forgetting the timeline. Was that the Duncan Robinson years? Was Sean Elliott, or were you
just
that?
After that? Yeah, so I think Robinson retired in 2003, so I was there 2005 to 2007. So
that's Tony Parker, Manu.
Tony, Manu, Timmy, you know, Brent Berry, Michael Finley, Robert Horry. Pretty good guys.
Ballers. All right, so I'm sure you probably saw a little bit of what the Celtics did last night. Almost broke the NBA record for team threes in a game. How are you preparing for this game, the opener at home? And they obviously, I think they're going to the White House. They're going to the White House today, Matt? Is that what you said? But, you know, defending champions, how do you kind of prepare for that starting five and the perimeter shooting?
Obviously, great respect for them, yeah. I mean, this is the champions of our league, so, like, credit to them. They had a heck of a year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got to go lace them up tomorrow. So we're just excited for the challenge. I mean, that it just happened to be Boston. We're excited to get our season started.
So Bilal on Tatum or Bilal on Brown?
We're not revealing any secrets. Nice try.
I feel like he's learned from Coach Pop, for sure.
Seems like.
I'll give you a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah. I think so.
All right, well, good luck, Coach. We're looking forward to watching, obviously, the young guys, Bilal and Alex, and we're going to have Alex on the show in next hour.
Oh, great.
So good luck and stay healthy.
Yeah, we'll be watching. We'll be rooting on, as always.
Thanks, guys. So, nice to see you in person. This is fun.
Definitely. Yeah,
thank Coach
you very
Brian
much.
Keefe, head coach of the Washington Wizards, which you can listen to all season long on the Team 980. Coming up next, we'll talk some World Series. Tony La Russa joins us here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.